RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
David Harvey, former judge and media law specialist, joins us this morning, as I mentioned earlier, to talk about the revival. Yeah, this is kind of a revival of the Fair Digital News Bargaining Bill. What's going on here? You remember the Public Interest Journalism Fund that's run out? Is this a segue into something new that sort of continues some kind of state support for media, albeit through the large tech companies? Anyway, David, welcome to the program. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning.
Okay, so I'm looking at your Substack of a few days ago, Faustian Bargain, Selling the Soul. And it kicks off with, well, in fact, there are two analogies in there. It kicks off with Oliver Twist, The Godfather's in there as well.
Yep.
Tell us why you use those analogies.
Well, the first analogy is Oliver Twist. The analogy, if you like, or the comparison, goes to the first bowl of gruel, which was the Public Interest Journalism Fund, which was provided by the state. And what mainstream media is now saying is, well, the Public Interest Journalism Fund has come to an end. We want more. And that was made abundantly clear when the Fair Digital News Bargaining Bill came before a select committee earlier this year. Mainstream media was all over the idea of the bill and that this would be the saviour of mainstream media. It would provide much needed funding because of the way in which funding had been diverted from advertising revenues and so on and so forth to the big platforms. So what I was suggesting was that mainstream media was coming out with the begging bowl, rather like Oliver, and saying, we want more. But of course, they can't have it directly. The Public Interest Journalism Fund was bad news right from the beginning, partly because it had a whole lot of conditions tagged to it, and partly because even although the government tried to put some distance between itself and mainstream media, it was in fact public money that was being put towards mainstream media to support them. So under the Fair Digital News Bargaining Bill, there is a distance between the funding which is going to come from the platforms like Google and Facebook and the government. But the fact of the matter is that the government is still providing the mechanism for the funding to be put in place. And although the bill describes itself as a Fair Digital News Bargaining Bill, it's neither fair nor is it bargaining, because it compels compliance with a particular regime. If you can't get some kind of negotiated solution, the state will step in and provide a solution. Furthermore, under the recent announcement by Minister Paul Goldsmith, the minister is actually going to determine which platform is going to be subject to this particular regime. And if the platforms don't fall in line and if they don't comply, then there will be sanctions, there will be penalties. It is a coercive regime that is being set up and is not a bargain, because you don't coerce a bargain. And it's not fair because, simply from what I've described, it is not fair. So in a sense, what is happening is that the state is providing a mechanism for the funding of media that doesn't involve public money, but has been facilitated by the state. The second quote that I referred to was from the book The Godfather, and it's also a scene from the movie where an undertaker who's suffered or whose child has suffered a humiliation at the hands of some people comes along to Don Corleone on the occasion of his daughter's wedding and asks for a favour, knowing that under the Sicilian way, a Don can't deny a favour. But the Don makes it clear to the undertaker that, in fact, this chap had rejected the Don earlier, was prepared to go along with the police and the justice system and so on and so forth. But when they let him down, this guy was prepared to come along to the Don and kiss his hand and play by the Don's rules. But the Don said, if you want justice, I'll give you justice. But somewhere along the line, I'm going to want you to do a favor. I may never ask, but somewhere along the line, I will ask for a favor. And sure enough, in the book and in the movie, when the Don's son, Sonny, was shot to pieces on the road from New Jersey into New York, the Don called on the undertaker to provide the favor and make Sonny look presentable so that his mother would be able to see him in the open coffin. So somewhere along the line, there may well be a price to be paid, shall we say. Not quite as obvious as the Public Interest Journalism Fund, but it'll be there nonetheless. And that's why I drew the analogy with The Godfather.
Yeah. Two things could happen here, couldn't they? That is that the platforms just say, no, we don't want to do that. But then they are coerced into wanting to do it because what, business becomes tougher in New Zealand? Or the platform says, well, okay, if we do that, we want some favors from you guys. I mean, that's what it sets up, doesn't it?
Well, no, I would think rather it would be the state saying to media, look, we actually provided you with some funding or a mechanism for some funding a few years ago. Remember that, the Fair Digital News Bargaining Bill? We'd kind of like you to put a positive spin on this particular aspect of our
policy. I don't know why I missed that one.
that's the Godfather. Because The Godfather, the Undertaker didn't like Don Corleone. Don Corleone knew that. Don Corleone actually said, I know that you don't like me. And rather like, current media situation, probably, and certainly Winston Peters has expressed this, the state doesn't like the media, or at least the way that they're being treated. But, hey, they're still prepared to make life easy for them. They'll come calling one day, don't worry.
So do you think that is the primary motivation for continuing with some form of what looks like state assistance, albeit through quite a different path?
Well, I don't think it's as obvious as that. Remember that we live in New Zealand where the state is seen as the first port of call for anybody in difficulty rather than the last one. The idea of anybody actually doing something on their own and using a little bit of individual initiative, changing their business model or something like that, doesn't really occur to too many people in the society in which we live. We prefer to call upon the state for assistance. So I think that's the first thing. It's a state of mind. It's a cultural thing, if you like, an unfortunate cultural thing, but the reality of it is that it's a cultural thing nevertheless. I don't think that they're introducing the Fair Digital News Bargaining Bill so that somewhere along the line they can exercise some control over the media. I don't think that they're subtle enough for that. But that's the way that it could work somewhere down the track. But I think in some respects the state needs the media to get the message across. Without a decent mainstream media, well, one that has some kind of public confidence and respect, they're not going to be able to get their message out. And we all know that there's continuing decline in trust in mainstream media, and probably with some justification.
Yeah, so again, I'd ask why. Because, okay, you're kind of looking for, I don't know, some sort of support from mainstream media going ahead when they're, attacking you at the moment. But in the meantime, you've got a crumbling audience.
Yeah.
Well, you're delivering that to.
Who proposed this in the first place? Who proposed this in the first place? It was Willie Jackson and the Labor Party.
Yeah, yeah.
They had put in place the Public Interest Journalism Fund, and certainly they had benefited from that with a compliant left-leaning media. There was no question that the Public Interest Journalism Fund did an awful lot of damage to media integrity from the point of view of the optics alone. But the PIJF having come to an end, Jackson is faced with, well, how are we going to keep the media? How are we going to keep the media going? Because remember, this is the Labor Party. They see the state as involving itself in everything, and particularly as far as media is concerned. And if you look at the history of the Labor Party and media, they're the ones who nationalised radio way back in the day in the 1930s. They have always been interested in controlling the media, and this was a way.
What if the big platforms just say, nah, don't want to do that? It's high and dry then, isn't it?
Yep.
And they probably will, won't they?
Certainly, if I was advising them, I'd say, look, how badly do you need news on your platform? How much of your income is going to suffer? Can you afford to get rid of news, as indeed Facebook did in Canada, much to the dismay of news media organisations who are now suffering? So they could easily do that. It would be very, very simple, and it would completely stymie. It would gazump the whole process. But the reality of it is, Paul, that there is another way in which this whole thing can be addressed. Because what is happening, and Shane Curry, I think unconsciously seized upon it in an article that he wrote for the Herald yesterday, when he was saying that the critics of the fair digital process have got it all wrong. He actually seized on it by saying, well, look, New Zealand media has to pay for, when we're playing music on radio and so on and so forth. That's absolutely right. And that comes in under the copyright regime. And what is happening is that Google and Facebook and various other platforms are free riding on other people's stuff. And that could be copyright infringement. It's a debatable issue right now, but all that really needs to happen is for there to be a few changes to copyright law, and the whole thing could be resolved under copyright, which would mean that there would be no fair digital bargaining or anything. If the platforms still wanted to use content, then they would pay a licensing fee to a licensing organization for that. It has been done before. It is done in the music industry. When I was chair of the Copyright Tribunal, I presided over a case involving the copying of news articles, the photocopying of news articles, and whether or not there should be a fee payable. It's as simple as it could be. It is an existing situation. It is principled. And as far as I'm concerned, is the complete answer. No need.
Okay, yeah. But there's also, I would imagine, the issue of how much traffic is derived for these media organizations through these portals. And if it's money for clicks and, one post of a story results in X amount of clicks, you've lost that. So there's a risk. There's a downside risk as well, isn't there?
Well, that's right. Years ago, I can remember a discussion that I had with some people who were involved in media who said that most of the Herald's traffic came from Facebook. They didn't log on to the Herald website. They actually logged on to Facebook, picked up a story from Facebook, clicked through to the Herald, and there they were. Social media itself provides a portal for these folks. And I don't know if they understand really that they could be cutting their own throats on us.
Yeah, the self-awareness seems to be lacking, David.
Yep.
You know, all the big neon arrow signs are pointing at a particular thing. And, you know, we've had experience of this directly at RCR. We had to create a new model. You know, it's an obvious one, and it's being repeated in other places because that is the way that you find a workable sort of future revenue-wise.
Yep.
And so far, that's panning out. But the big problem, David, is that you have to have a committed and loving audience that like what you do. Otherwise, they're not going to support it, particularly financially.
That's
and
right.
I don't see that in the mainstream brands. You didn't need to have that love. I remember I was at RNZ for on and off for over 40 years. It was just the default listen. It always was. There was no battling for audience, really. They just shifted around the margins. But now, you know, The problem is that lack of trust. The audience doesn't love you anymore. How are you going to get the love back? I know it sort of sounds a bit sort of out there, but I really think there's something in there.
Well, that's right. And I think that you've got to recognize that your audience isn't stupid and that they know the difference between fact and opinion. And particularly in some media outlets, there's quite a bit of opinion that comes into a story that is meant to be about fact, but isn't. You know, they have these experts on to interpret what all this means, as if we're not intelligent enough to work it out for ourselves. Really? And perhaps treating your audience as if they were idiots doesn't help too much.
No. Okay, so that copyright solution, hadn't thought of that, and that's very simple, isn't it?
Yep. It's simple, it's principled, and what's more, Paul, it's there. I think there probably need to be just a couple more little amendments to the Copyright Act, and you're home and dry.
And no one had a word in Paul Goldsmith's or others' ear about that.
I made the submission to the Select Committee, Paul.
Okay, well, there you go. Yep.
And I'm on the record, and I've advanced it on my Substack on a number of occasions. You know, whether or not anybody wants to listen is another matter. But hey. You know, the idea is out there, and look, you know, I haven't even charged for it.
Yeah, you'll be wanting a fund to dip into for these efforts at some point. Well, we would all benefit, I suppose. Save us.
Well, I'm a lawyer after all.
Yeah. Save us. Please save us the state. All right. And, of course, Willie Jackson's background is in, I think he's very closely associated with Watia News. So I guess, you know, there was a kind of interest from him, maybe more directly as well, possibly.
Could be.
Yeah. All right. David Harvey, thanks for coming on this morning and giving your thoughts on that. And if you just go to David's Substack, you can search that out. Faustian Bargains is the name of the piece. Went up on the 2nd of July. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Paul. Have a good day.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.